I'm speaking with Norma Stewart, partner at Weller Accountants today. Hello, Norma.
Hello, Jocelyn.
Thanks for joining me. We've got a series of podcasts with you, giving some really useful tips to working mums and working dads as well, to help them basically get the most out of their money. Today, we're going to be looking at allowances for working from home. So obviously there are so many different ways of working these days. For some it means going in-house, working full-time, but for a lot of mums, and increasingly so with the recession and just not having that flexibility,
that's right,
a lot of people are setting up their own businesses from home. I guess it all sounds amazing, and it can be, until self-assessment time or tax return time comes on board. And then there's, you know, either a bit of confusion or just a bit of a knowledge gap in terms of the allowances that you can have when you work from home.
That's right. I think the point you make, in the current economic climate, then I think the flexibility that, you know, working as a freelancer or working from home gives, mm-hmm, will be a tremendous boost to the economy as we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
More and more employers are saying, well, they don't actually need a full-time resource.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do want to be able to more effectively manage the resource they need and how they utilise it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, certainly women and, you know, mums and dads, as you quite rightly say, you know, working from home, still being able to contribute,
mm-hmm,
is a fantastic way to actually help us boost the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of setting up their business and thinking about the best way for them to operate,
mm-hmm,
partly that may be guided by the businesses that they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
So the likelihood is that the businesses that they're working with will no longer want them to be employees.
Mm-hmm.
So they will no longer be having their tax and national insurance deducted at source.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to learn to manage,
mm-hmm,
their taxable liabilities, as you say, whether that be through self-assessment,
mm-hmm,
or through a company tax return.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's important that they have no nasty surprises. They,
mm-hmm,
know when their tax liabilities are going to fall due,
yeah,
and they've got a reasonable understanding of what those will be.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of someone being self-employed,
mm-hmm,
then that taxable income is treated through their self-assessment tax return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this will be something which may be quite strange to the mums and dads working, because whilst they've been employed, they,
yeah,
you know, largely will not have been preparing personal tax returns.
Yeah.
So just the fact of having to cope with that,
mm-hmm,
will be a bit of a shock,
yeah,
in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, in being self-employed, they must register with the revenue within 3 months of that self-employment.
Okay.
They also, at that point, become liable to Class 2 national insurance,
mm-hmm,
contributions. And again, they need to notify the revenue by the 31st of January,
mm-hmm,
following the tax year,
mm-hmm,
in which they start their self-employment.
Okay.
Now, as a self-employed person, obviously, I think it's important that, you know, you understand that there are legitimate ways to reduce your tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that working at home, some people don't take full advantage of the benefits,
mm-hmm,
that can bring. It is a bit of a grey and a complex area, and hopefully, we can look at how to differentiate what would be a taxable expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're going to do that at a separate time,
mm-hmm,
in a separate session,
mm-hmm,
and just help manage that taxable profit and the tax that you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, looking at a limited company,
mm-hmm,
structure,
mm-hmm,
where you actually set up a limited company which you trade from,
mm-hmm,
that company is quite separate from you as an individual,
mm-hmm,
so it has its own tax liabilities,
mm-hmm,
that tax is called corporation tax,
mm-hmm,
and it's payable 9 months after the company's year end, have the ability to sit, because normally the renewal assess is a 12-month period, as a rule. The reason I commented first about perhaps the businesses that you're working with will perhaps dictate how you work is that there certainly is an element of a grey area as to whether you are employed or self-employed, certainly where you may have been working with a business previously and now you're working from home and actually your job hasn't changed too much. The revenue could argue that in that situation you're not self-employed but you are employed. To protect the employer and their business in that situation, they often will ask that you do set yourself up within the limited company structure. As I say, that is a separate entity, quite separate from you. You are then establishing yourself in business. In you know, the company is trading in its own right. It's trading with a view to making profits. It has its own risks, and the arguments over employment are removed. So quite often, people beginning to work from home will find that they will be asked to work in this way. Now, obviously, that's a bit scary because we now have the requirement to file accounts at Companies House, as well as a corporation tax return to go to the revenue. But this, you know, this all should be able to be managed quite straightforwardly through, you know, the help of an accountant.
So, Norma, can you explain what the key differences are then between, you know, maybe the self-assessment form that a lot of people would have been used to sending, perhaps, if maybe they've been doing some extra work on the side as a freelancer, and then what you need to send when you're a, you know, a limited company, because the two are quite different, aren't they?
The two are quite different. As a self-employed person, there is a self-employment page which forms part of the personal tax return. That, in many cases, is just a simple income and expenditure account. So, arguably, the administration of dealing with that, the, you know, the mum or dad could do themselves just by managing their, you know, their income and their expenditure. Where there is a limited company structure and the requirement to file accounts at Companies House, then those, of course, those accounts now need to be prepared in accordance with the Companies Act and have to follow a certain format, which means that there has to be a full set of accounts prepared, which gives the background details to the company. You know, the directors make a statement in relation to their responsibilities in preparing the accounts. There's a profit and loss account and a balance sheet, and those are prepared on an accruals basis, which means that the profits that you show are actually the profits which you have invoiced, irrespective of whether you have collected the cash on those sales. So they're prepared in a slightly different way, which makes managing them a little more difficult. And often the disadvantage noted on being a limited company is that there is another level of administration involved in actually looking after a limited company structure. On the plus side, I would say that it does allow you to manage your tax affairs in a far more efficient way. Because unlike in the situation where you are self-employed and you are taxed on the profit which is made, so the taxable profits, your income, less any allowable expenditure, irrespective of whether you've been able to draw those profits from the business. So in the early days of building a business, you may want to you know, reinvest those into the business, and you're not actually receiving that profit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in a self-employed position, you're taxed on those profits,
mm-hmm.
and you're taxed at the, you know, the appropriate rate.
Mm-hmm.
In a company, you are only taxed on the money that you are able to draw from the company. So whether that's a director's salary,
mm-hmm.
which might be dealt with in the same way as in the past when you've been employed,
mm-hmm.
and tax and national insurance is deducted at source,
mm-hmm.
or dividends,
mm-hmm.
which again are more, or the most tax efficient way to draw,
mm-hmm.
monies from the limited company structure,
mm-hmm.
but you can manage in which tax year those dividends fall.
Mm-hmm.
So those dividends will be assessed again on your self-assessment tax return, on your personal tax return,
mm-hmm.
but in accordance with the tax year in which you actually received those dividends.
Right.
So irrespective of the profits that the company is making,
mm-hmm.
although we have to remember that the company will pay corporation tax on those profits.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever dividend you are able to draw from the company will be after tax. So after the corporation tax liability has been paid. Currently, that's small company's rate, and that's taxable profits up to £300,000,
okay.
is 20%.
Right, okay. So if you're a mumpreneur, as many of our listeners will be, and let's say, you know, your profit is, or you, your business activity makes £20,000, do you think it would be wiser to stay self-employed or to become a limited company?
Probably somewhere around £20,000 gross profit is the sort of point where you really should consider your structure.
Okay.
And it would certainly become more beneficial to be a limited company.
Okay.
The administration costs, you know, sort of balance that off. It's not, you know, it's not quite as clear cut as that,
mm-hmm.
but certainly anything in excess of £20,000, I would be looking at whether a limited company structure were more appropriate.
Okay. Right, so those are really good, useful tips there. Obviously, we've covered the difference between being a limited company and being self-employed. And I know for a lot of our listeners, the key is, when should I become a limited company? And you're saying, you know, if you hit that sort of £20,000 mark, it's a good time to start looking at, you know, whether you can become one, because obviously you'd need to pay an accountant to do the extra administration. Self-assessment forms can be complex enough.
But
I think it's a different level when you start looking at what a limited company is required to send to HMRC and Companies House, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if someone is unsure, then, you know, starting off and seeing how your business develops,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps being self-employed until you can feel confident,
mm-hmm.
that you have a business which you know will grow and move forward,
mm-hmm.
there always is the ability to incorporate that business at a later date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, those are very helpful tips, Norma. Thank you very much. Can you just say the website address for Weller Accountants so that anyone who, you know, maybe they've hit that 20,000 mark or even beyond?
I think there is lots of useful information,
mm-hmm.
Guides and calculators on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone if anyone has any questions, I would encourage them to visit www.wellersaccountants.co.uk.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Jocelyn.
You are listening to a podcast brought to you by motherswhowork.co.uk. Be sure to visit the website for more tips and advice on being a successful working mum.